We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer to begin our second session, and then I will introduce our special guest. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity to hear a report on Glen Haven Youth Ranch by Quentin. And we pray that you would be with him today as he makes that presentation, that we would concentrate upon his delivery, and that you would bless the outcome. And it is for these things we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Quentin has not been here for a report. Quentin, I've lost you. Quentin has not been with us for our official report probably in about 3 years. He's visited on occasion. But we have lined him up for today. He's got a lot of new information regarding Glen Haven. And so without further ado from me, here's Quentin Swofford of Glen Haven Youth Ranch.
I'm really glad to be here. I'm glad to be anywhere. After my illness last year, the stroke I had, I found out how serious it was after I recovered some. And I want to mention that because I want to thank you for your prayers for Joe Weldon calling and many of you showing such an interest in my health. The encouragement I get from you guys is always wonderful. Thank you for that. I have been a little confused on language lately. after a stroke, you have to go through therapy to talk again. And I used to live in, I was born in Texas. My parents were from Oklahoma. You know there are different languages in those states. I lived in Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama. And now we have some staff members from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I want to say A all the time for you that are aware of how confusing that is. I hope I use the right terminology this morning in describing Glen Haven. I am passionately involved in the ministry there, as you know. Beverly and I, and Beverly, my wife, and my daughter Ashley are with me, and I'm so pleased that they got to come. I get them to drive when I can, but all the way up here, they kept telling me they were going to drive, and they never have, so they get to drive going back home. I'm so encouraged getting the opportunity to present our ministry to you, and I feel like somewhat like Paul, who went back to Jerusalem to report on his missionary journeys. You guys are so involved in our ministry, not only financially, but you have supported us significantly financially, some of you, and for that we are eternally grateful. But the prayer support, the notes, the letters, the encouragement that we get from just the body of Christ is tremendous. Thank you for that. Please continue. A lot of wonderful things have happened in our ministry over the years. I don't even feel like it's the same place when we came there 13 years ago. God has just been dumping through that grace pipeline that Joe's talking about. Many, many blessings. So you that have seen pictures in the past are going to be amazed at some of the developments, the physical additions that we've had to our ministry. I'm going to go through this rather quickly. You know now that a clip on television normally stays about 2 to 3 seconds, don't you? Have you ever paid attention to advertisements and even shows? and I have learned that I need to move real fast because you're going to get to see visually a lot more than I can tell you here about our ministry. So I'm going to run through this some, and at the end, hopefully we'll have time if you want to ask some questions. And I hopefully will have a little time to tell you our philosophy of dealing with some parenting issues with the kids. So let's move forward here and tell you a little bit about what God has done for us. And sometimes we feel like he's done it to us. I warn everybody that comes to the ranch in ministry, what Joe just taught this morning, that once you move to the front line and you have reached a point of receiving God's blessings because of the capacity and for others, and your servanthood is beginning to develop. You're getting on the front lines of the battle. And we stay on those front lines. We invite evil right into our homes. We deal with it heads up. We take 6 to 8, sometimes 10 at-risk teenagers that are throwaway kids that very few people want to deal with, and put them in one home with one set of house parents. So please pray for us in our ministry. We're trying to do our little bit of helping the younger generations that are coming along. And we have kind of felt like in the last 3 or 4 years in particular, we have seen a tremendous increase in success with the kids. And we'll tell you about that as we go along. I think you know Glen Haven was named in honor of Glenn Cunningham, and that's why it's called Glen Haven. It started in 1984 by Jody Brown, and Brian and Laura Elmore came along very shortly thereafter. And this is what we're all about right here. This is kind of a fun picture, and everything is not serious at the ranch all the time. We do try to have as much fun as we can. If you noticed up here, these boys, we asked them to ham it up a little, and that doesn't take much to get that kind of reaction from them. We are taking younger kids, by the way, for you that noticed. We're taking kids down to 8 years of age, and if they have siblings, we're taking them down even younger. So we have changed a lot of the dynamics of what our ministry is about. We are in the beautiful Wichita National Forest. We're 50 miles from the closest significant grocery store. We're 4 miles down a dirt road. So for city boys who come and have never been in the country, it's quite a unique shock to them to come to our facility. We are 1 mile south of a large lake called Lake Nimrod, and we have a national forest all around us. This is our property. What you don't see is 40 more acres that is down to the bottom right. That's not in this picture. But we have quite a bit of land. We do our own cattle and horses and hay, and we'll show you that in a minute. For you that have been there, you won't recognize the white fence. It's new. We've had volunteers come and pay for that and put it up in the last 4 years. And we're very appreciative of the looks. When you take an at-risk kid who is in trouble, who has grown up in a family full of fear, who doesn't know how to trust, you want the first impression to be comfortable and safe for that kid. In fact, we have discovered that what is going on in our country with children is the fact that homes aren't safe anymore. And safety is a combination of many character traits that come from the individuals called parents. And when they apply those character traits to their marriage and their family, children feel safe. And that's what Joe teaches, and that's what we've learned all of our Christian life, growing and maturing. God wants us to be examples of Christ. So our issue for many and almost every kid that comes there is safety. We want them to feel safe, because the quicker and the longer we can bring safety to their life, the quicker they can learn to trust, and the quicker they can learn to believe, and then they'll start a relationship, and after that we may see some behavior change. But believe me, it takes all that first in order to get behavior change. 60% of all the children in the United States do not live with both birth parents. Guys, we're in trouble. It's significantly worse than probably what we think. And what we're seeing today in statistics is the fact that 7 out of 10 women under 30 years of age have been sexually abused growing up. And that says in evangelical churches across the country, there have been surveys and 7 out of 10 women in churches have been sexually abused. The more significant issue is that 4 out of 10 young men under the age of 18 have been sexually abused, and that's on the rise. And now we're dealing with almost to 80% of all the young men that come to the ranch have been sexually abused. And as you will hear in a minute, we're starting to deal with a new girls' ranch. In fact, we're re-energizing our girls' ministry, which we dropped about 10 years ago. And we suspect almost 100% of those young ladies that we're going to bring into our facility are going to be sexually abused. Sexual abuse is a much more difficult abuse to deal with, and it takes special training and special patience and special love to help the individuals get past that, especially children. We have wonderful staff. I have the best staff that I have ever worked with in my life. With the combination of years of child care and ministry, these folks are there not because of money, but because they want to be. Greg and Gina Pitts, Dwayne and Karen Webb have been there 15 years. And many of you know Dan and Lori Hawkins. He was the executive director of Village Ministries for many years. Some of you support that and know about that. Dan left him about 4 years ago and went into ministry for a while. And I talked him into coming to the ranch. And God brought him at the right time, because now he's taken over much of the managing of the ranch that I needed to dump on someone else. Glen Haven has grown to the place that it's not a one-man show. It's we have almost 50 people in our ministry right now. And by the end of this year, we're going to have 60 people on campus. And that's a lot of people to manage. So please pray for Dan and Lori, as they've been there 2.5 years now. And he'll end up being the director of Glen Haven. And I'm gonna move back in a position where I come and talk to Joe and talk to you guys. And I'm moving away from the ministry. Getting old is tough, isn't it? It's not for wimps. And so I found out I need a little more rest than I normally do. Joe just made a trip that I don't know I could do anymore. I'm so glad to have this kind of staff that is so dedicated to these kids. The abuse that these individuals have taken from the kids that come our way is phenomenal. I won't spend the time in introducing all of these staff members, but I can tell you every one of them are dear to my heart. And wonderful staff members. We have full-time retirees. A couple on the top, John and Marge Thompson, are 85 years old. They came 11 years ago to the ranch, 12 years ago, and bought a trailer and gave it to us and asked us if they could live in it, and they would pay the utilities. And they've been there ever since off of their own retirement. And she still tutors, and he still runs our maintenance shop. Pure and undefiled worship in the sight of God and Father is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress. And that is one of the mottos we have in what we do at the ranch. 90% of the kids we place do not have parents that are significant in their life. Some of them do have parents, but most of the time it's a single mother or a mother who has divorced and remarried, and there is trouble with the children because there's trouble in the home. We have 3 homes, plus we've just bought our property back for our girls' ranch, so now we have 40 beds for kids, and we usually keep about, with the 30 beds for boys, we usually keep anywhere from 20 to 22. Very seldom will we ever fill up those beds, simply because the at-risk problem is increasing significantly. Raging is becoming more a problem for us. It takes 4 men to hold one of these kids down for sometimes 30 to 45 minutes while they rage, and in order to help them, and we've had significant success with that. In order to do that, there has to be a lot of training about safety and love and making sure those kids feel like they're loved in the process. But I can tell you, we have kids within 30 seconds who can tear up a classroom or tear up a house. And so we, in order to deal with these kids, and most of the raging is from 8 to 10 years of age. So you got a little kid that is so fearful and so full of phobias, and so untrusting that you never know what's going to set that action off. And we could send them back somewhere else, or we could continue to medicate them more, or we could love them the way we do, and we choose to do that, and we have found some success in that. That did not go on 5 years ago. So it is increasing where it's a younger age now, and the acting out is more significant now. And it's tougher on house parents and ranch parents who deal with the kids. We have three sets of ranch parents. This is a 4,500 square foot home. The Manaways are in that. We have a couple, the Fiaconis are in this house. And then Ben and Mary, my son and daughter-in-law, have been house parents for a few years. They just resigned last week, 2 weeks ago, and have moved to operations. And we just, well, it's been about 4 weeks ago, and we just hired a new set of house parents to come in, but I don't, in this house, but I don't have their picture. Jim and Rose Smith, so you might put their name down. They have got the shock of their life coming in the next 6 months. We have warned them about all of that, but you can't warn people enough about the adventure of being ranch parents with at-risk kids. So we're going to walk along beside them through this adventure and through this part of their Christian ministry and help them become significant to these kids that come in their families. We operate off of about 7 or 8 concepts. Spiritual life is strong. We are a Christian facility. We teach the kids. We have devotions. We pray. We evangelize them. And we make sure that everything that we do is based scripturally. We are a strength-based operation. For any of you that wonder what therapy approach we use, it's the concept that we are not clinical. We do not have psychiatric support on the ranch, even though many of these kids go to counseling. And we have psychiatrists that have to monitor some of the medications. All of the kids come with many psychotropic medications now. And we have to work in weaning them off of that and working with doctors. We do that, but our staff is very familiar with that process. And most of the kids come off of those medications in a very short time when they come to the ranch. We give them to them when they need them, and there are some wonderful medications now out there, but it is extremely overused in our country. And it has become a way of controlling behavior in this country, which is an absolute shame. When in the public schools, the teacher has a problem with one of these children, they immediately go to identifying and putting that child in a psychological box, giving it a name, and giving and prescribing medication. And as most of us who are older know, many of those issues can be dealt with by just a good adult supervision, patience, and love, and the structure and discipline that needs to come. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not blaming the schools. They are living with almost an impossible solution because they get very little support. Teachers get very little support from the administration. And we also find that families do not support the right kind of structure that schools need to have. Therefore, the education department in our the education system in our country is failing simply because we as citizens are not supporting it anymore. And it's doing what it has to do politically to survive. We are a working ranch. We have chapel on Wednesday night. All of our staff members go to a church and are members of a church and are supposed to be active in that church. We try to look at the child's strengths when they come there and build on them. That does not mean that we don't deal with their weaknesses, because we do. Those weaknesses are going to expose themselves and come out. Always, especially the more that child gets comfortable with us and the more they trust us and the more they develop relationship with us. We do a lot of playing with these kids. Most of these kids have never played sports in a manner that most of us over 40 and 50 have played. They do not know how to follow rules. They don't know how to give deference to others. They don't know what sportsmanship is all about. And those are things that we are going back to Sportsmanship 101 and teaching now with these kids that are 12, 13, 16 years of age that come to the ranch. We spend a lot of time working with them. They help us put up buildings, and they help us dig ditches, and they help us do a lot of things around the ranch. Horses, we have had some benefactors, is that the word, who has supported the ranch. We're the beneficiary, is that right? Okay. And we have had a wonderful horse program develop. I thought it would take another 5 years because it's extremely expensive to have horses and veterinarian. And we have had some individuals locally there that are paying for all of it, including the barn you're going to see in a minute. But I'll tell you, you can turn an at-risk kid around in a heartbeat with an animal quicker than you can with an individual. Those kids come there, and their definition of father is somebody who beat me and hurt me and ran off and abandoned me. That's their definition. So when you walk up and say, I want to be your father, they back up. And they do not have a good attitude toward men or women, because all the women in their life have been so exhausted and so tired that they've been able to manipulate and control them. And in the process, they come in with beliefs that have to be changed. An animal, I don't know if any of you have been around a horse, but a horse is an animal. It's like a big dog. And horses are the way they are, and you're not going to change them. And one of the therapies we do is we take a bridle in a round pen and give it to a new boy and say, go put this on that horse. And after three or four sessions, he finally comes to us and says, I can't do it. I need help. And that's significant. That's significant for a child that's never asked for help, never had anybody to ask for help, and finally admit that they have some failure. And they start seeing themselves in a different light. You do a lot more in that scenario than you do bringing them in and 101 counseling them, because they don't listen to you. And they will listen to that environment that says, I can't do this. How do I do it? Please help me. Music is a universal language. And I can tell you, you can touch kids with music, or you can touch them sometimes no other way. And kids who are at risk and unhealthy individuals love to find outlets like music to express what's going on inside. And so many times these kids become very creative externally and become artists and musicians simply as an outlet for the trouble and the hurt. And the music they like indicates what's going on inside. And so it's a very significant thing that we've learned to deal with. The Colorado hiking trip is a significant part of what we do. We take kids for 2 weeks, and our group just got back from there. You take city at-risk kids, and you take them to Colorado, and you start them off at 10,500 feet with 27 other people, and we've got about one man to every three kids. And it doesn't take them too long to figure out that there are no bathrooms. There's no light switches, there's no Nintendos, there's no televisions, there's no mamas, and everything, and it freezes at night, and there's very little air up there, so they are exhausted and don't have the energy to fight you too much, and they know there are bears in the woods, and so very quickly, the whole dynamics of your relationship changes with these kids. And they didn't understand that because they're going on an adventure, and that's what boys love to do, right? And so we took them on the adventure, but about the first 4 hours on backpacking with 35 to 40 pounds on your back turns you into someone who needs somebody else. I need help. I need direction. I need to feel safe. I need to know that Dwayne, you know where you're going. And I need to know how to stay warm tonight, and they have to share tents. They have to help each other. Some kids make it to the next camp every day before noon, and our policy is you drop your pack and you go all the way back to the last man and you grab his pack and you help him to the camp. And it is unbelievable the results we get as far as just that 1 week up there at 14,000 feet. That 1 week that we develop bonds and relationships and we see kids helping other kids that they wouldn't dare help at the ranch. And they all come back with a sense of confidence. And I, by the way, I'm not a real believer in self-esteem the way it's been defined, because confidence is when you've accomplished something and you know it and there's not arrogance attached to that. Self-esteem has become a very arrogant process in our country the way most have defined it, because they want you to pat people on the back that haven't really accomplished the task. They give every kid in sports now a trophy, whether you accomplished anything or whether you ever played or not or whether you ever made the All-Stars. And we're teaching our kids some very wrong messages as a result of the drastic development of our culture. And we don't do that. The only thing about going up on a backpacking trip is everybody has to get there. So everybody gets to feel the accomplishment of getting there and getting back. And they all feel like they're mountain men when they come back. Their confidence is a little higher than it probably should be. But that's okay when you've got kids that didn't have any confidence in themselves before. And two, they learn to listen to authority up there. The first time they forget to put their shoes in under their flap on their tent, and they get up the next morning and it's 28 degrees and their shoes are damp and wet and cold and they have to put their feet in them and go, the next day they listen to you. And so there's some processes that go on in this backpacking trip that's absolutely wonderful. I keep this in here because 4 years ago, Beverly and I went on this trip, and we are right there. And I want everybody to know that we made it. That's 13,500 feet. And I'll tell you, I learned firsthand, and I had been backpacking in the military all my life, but there was nothing like going up there with these kids. So if any of you ever want to go with us or bring your sons with you, we always need additional adults to go with us, and we would love to have you. We have individuals from churches all the time join us there and go with us on our backpacking trip. It helps us. It gives us more adults. So if you have any interest in that, we'll be going about a year from now. We'd love to have you. Our education system, we don't call it a school anymore because the state of Arkansas won't allow us to. We call it an education program. Because of that, the state education department supports us. They give us thousands of dollars every year in computers and software and curriculum material, desk, and other things, because we're taking kids they don't want. Even though we take kids from all over the country, we are doing something that they can't do in public school. We very much have a one-room schoolhouse in Duane Webb. It's a Pied Piper to these kids. Back 20-something years ago, Duane was on drugs. He had just got out of the Navy. He lost his wife. He got up one morning to go to work and was still drunk and still high, and he hit a Cadillac doing 60 miles an hour on his motorcycle. He was thrown 85 foot through the air. He broke 14 bones in his body. They had to take body parts out. They had to stitch him back together. He felt sorry for himself. And he was laying there 6 weeks later, still in traction. And an old Baptist black pastor came in and looked at him. He had grown up in a doctrinal church. Jim Myers was his pastor. And he had just not caught on, as Duane tells the story. And this black pastor came in and said, "Can I pray with you?" He said, "I guess so, but it doesn't matter." And the preacher said, "I'm going to pray for you anyway." And he said, "You better be glad I'm not God." And the guy looked at him and said, why? He said, because if I was God, you'd be dead. He said, you got a bad attitude. He said, obviously God's got something for you, or you wouldn't be laid up here like this. And said, God's trying to get your attention, so get over the anger and deal with this. And he's never seen that black preacher again. But he came in and he ministered to him and prayed with him and walked out. And Dwayne said that was the turning point. Now, he understands these kids, and they know he does. And he has a tremendous ability to make learning fun. And all the teachers that come there, we try to get them to follow in his footsteps. This is Sharon teaching Dan, and we do a lot of one-on-one. Our kids, on an average, with tests that are given to them by the state of Arkansas testing facility, and they, on an average, the first year they're at the ranch, on an average, we get a 2.5-year academic jump the first year they're there. So Dwayne's doing something right, and we're having a lot of success with kids who most of the time are a year to 2 years behind when they come to us in academics. And our school is, our academics are not even designed for teaching kids, because we realize if they don't get their behavior in control, what does education mean? So we're all about in our schools about behavior and discipline and loving them and working through their issues with them. Coincidentally, once their relationships start to develop and once they start to trust and feel safe, their school grades go up automatically. We have learned by us experimenting, we've learned how to do that. We make learning fun. This is our school building number 2. It used to be our rec building. We've had to increase the size, and we're running out of school rooms and places to put kids. So if we expand and build more houses, we're going to have to do that. Much like a one-room schoolhouse, Dwayne teaches maybe 7th, 8th, and 9th grade math in one room. And he does a wonderful job. And he lets the older boys help the younger kids. We also have had a computer lab put in this year. We had 13 to 16-year-olds in history class studying World War II. And I thought it very significant. These kids have never been allowed to play and have freedom of adventure as children. When they come there, these abused kids have to grow up fast in some ways. And so in order to let them play, sometimes they'll go play, and a 13-year-old will go play cars in the dirt like a 5-year-old. It's amazing to watch. And they'll go through those stages of playing just like that in order to mature, because playing is learning. Are you aware of that? Kids learn a lot when they play. Social skills, eye-hand coordination. There's a whole vast of things that children learn when they play. So we let them do that, and we ask these 16-year-old boys what they want to do for projects for World War II, and they said, would you buy some Army men? And we did, and they took these cardboard boxes, put some sand in it. It took them a week. They had a ball. Guess what? They didn't leave these. This was not a static thing. They played with those Army guys and changed those positions in building that project all week. It was just phenomenal to watch. They help us a lot. If we get a kid with a high school diploma and get his college degree, but he can't get along with people and he doesn't have a good work ethic, what have we done? So we have determined at our ranch that work is a big part of what we do there, and we work right along beside them. We were tearing an old barn down here, and they were helping us. They helped us with the hay and the working with the cattle. This was just 2 weeks ago when we got our first batch of hay in. We've got another crop of hay coming in about 4 or 5 more weeks. And so pray for rain. We need rain and sunshine. And we have volunteers. This man right here comes from Hot Springs Village. We have a lot of retirees and volunteers that come and help us. You can see the hay trucks down here, and you see our baler. We're needing a bigger tractor, by the way. Our tractor's having to do all the things, so all that we have to do with it it doesn't have a large enough horsepower. We need a 75 horsepower tractor. So if any of you have an extra one of those in your hip pocket, let us know. Pray for that, please, for us. That's something that's significant. We have just all kinds of jobs. We are a working ranch, and it is very significant that boys need adventures. They need real work. And so everything we do with our ranch life is about teaching these kids to work. We wouldn't have all these animals if it wasn't for the kids. And if it wasn't significant that these kids were growing from this experience, we wouldn't have them. But these kids help us with roundups, bringing the cows in two or three times a year and vaccinating them, deworming them, all the things that we have to do. I'll tell you, you take city kids and you have them do this one time and you'll change a kid forever. And how many of you grown up on a farm? You know what I mean. Okay. So you that haven't, come up and join us on our roundups and we'll show you what we do at the ranch. This is two of our adults, but if you'll notice right over the head right back here are three kids that are helping put these cows in the squeeze chute and helping us do the projects that we do. Here they are. Look at the two staff ladies that are loading the needles. And look at the face of these kids. I want you to see how serious they are about this and how significant it is. You know how dangerous this is. It's a very dangerous project. So every time we do this, we threaten these kids that they're going to get hurt bad if they don't listen to us. And they go into this with fear and a healthy respect. And they come out of it with great confidence. The tougher thing you accomplish, the greater the confidence it builds. And so we find great confidence being built in these kids. This young man came when he was 8 years old. Michael is still with us and probably will be with us through high school. And he's just a joy to be around. When he just turned 13 when he was 9 years old. It took four of us three times a day to hold him down. We haven't had to do that in a long, long time. And he's just a loving, sweet kid. But you can get a little idea, even with these blurred photos, of what these kids do and how serious what they do is to them. And then that's what happens when they accomplish it. All of a sudden, they're showing affection and they're smiling like they've never smiled before. And pretty soon, you know, you develop a relationship. And I can tell you guys, you keep hearing me say relationship, don't you? It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. I think your pastor has told you Christianity is relationship, correct? And I'm learning in my old age, it really is all about relationship. Application is all about relationship. I can't say it enough. When I counsel families, when I talk to people, when I do seminars now, I recognize the significant issue is not being right. It's relationship. Now, don't throw out right. I didn't mean that I have thrown out the right and wrong. I haven't. I believe strongly in absolutes. But if you use an absolute to condemn someone, you are judging them, and you're applying things in the wrong way. Your pastor has taught this. I know Joe well enough. And I tell you, it's all about relationship. How significant is it for us as a staff to understand where these kids are? Because they're not going to be able, you can't take a 5-year-old and ask them to be like a 10-year-old. And you can't take a 13-year-old who's emotionally a 5-year-old and ask him to be a 13-year-old. You've got to bring him up to that level. And the only way they're going to grow and mature is through relationship. Joe taught that this morning, and everything he said, it was about relationship. Why do we do what we do as far as the Lord goes? What is our motivation? Our motivation is because He loves us and we love Him. And the stronger that love, the more the motivation comes from the heart and the more what we do is the right way. Relationships is what it's all about. This kid was standing 6 foot above the cows. They were coming under him. And I just left you a picture there of what we do. Now, this was the war stories that they were telling after all this was over. They help us in ditches. They help us here put some underground utilities together. Family and home is very important to us. In many, many ways, we keep these kids hooked up to family. Most of these kids don't have the right definition of a family. Their definition of a family is very dysfunctional. And you know why? Because their families are dysfunctional. They do not understand how God designed a family and how it's supposed to work. This is the new barn. This is a better facility than what Beverly and I moved into when we moved to the ranch 13 years ago. Can I have that water? We have been very blessed. For you that haven't been to the ranch in a long time but have been out there, you see the old barn up there. That was our old barn up until last year. And let me show you the new one. In fact, we have now a riding arena. We tore down all the old barns, and the place looks so different. We have a new Votech building. This is a riding arena. We have two round pins now. And this is our new equestrian facility. All of this has been donated. It is a wonderful place for horses, but it's also a wonderful place for kids, too. This is 6 o'clock in the morning. This is another very effective part of what we do with these kids. You notice they're wearing heavy coats. Even in the wintertime, they come down and take care of these horses at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. These are kids that don't want to get up. It's very interesting to us that if you tell a kid he's going to take care of horses at 6 in the morning, he'll usually get up. And when you tell him that we have no choice, this has got to be done 7 days a week, and when they realize it's real work, and they realize the staff's going to go with them, it doesn't take but about 2 to 3 weeks for them to learn the significance of following orders, doing it right, getting along and working as a team, and the other things that they're going to learn in this process. Kids that you can't get to smile, that you can't get to have a relationship with, you take them out there and work with them, and when it's over, they'll sit down with you and smile about what they've accomplished. So we find that environment very healthy for these at-risk kids. It's healthy for us. We do a lot of learning. I tell everybody on the staff that comes there, you're coming here for you, and you're going to change more than the kids do, and that is an absolute fact. This little kid's named Dan. His mother is mentally retarded. He doesn't know where his dad is. His grandmother has cancer, and we are probably going to have him through high school. He came to us 2 years ago. He also raged. We held him down for days at a time, for an hour at a time, 2 or 3 times a day. And we haven't had to do that in over a year now. He is all smiles. He loves the ranch now. One of the things we say at the ranch is we can't help a kid till he accepts the fact that he's placed there. Sometimes that happens in 6 months, and sometimes that's a year or two before a kid quits kicking to try to disagree with what we're doing. When he finally gives up and quits, have you just been teaching on kicking against a prick? Well, I'll tell you, I've got some good examples for you. Because once these kids quit kicking against us, then we can help them. But we don't do much in the way of helping these children until finally they give up and accept the fact they're there and we have something to give them. In the process is where the patience and all the character issues within our staff come out. It's absolutely essential that our staff exercises characteristics like faithfulness, love, compassion, a good work ethic. All of those are character traits. And if you have flaws in those and come on staff, those flaws are going to be exposed very quickly because these kids are going to find those weaknesses and push those buttons. And they're always related to character issues. Always. And we find that when we help a kid, it's always related to character. Why didn't you get your homework? Why didn't you obey the teacher? We need to work on some character. We need to develop honesty and faithfulness and respect for authority. All those character traits that you have to develop in you, that you do, that motivates you, that makes you what you are. By the way, this kid Dan is the young man that goes out and you see how tall he is? At dark 30 in the morning, this little kid will take a halter rope, go out to the pasture. All the 1,500-pound horses come running up around him. He has a healthy respect, but after he's been there a year now, he has no fear of going out there, and these horses love him to death. Horses sense when children are around. It's phenomenal to watch. And we teach them safety, and we make sure they're safe, but he goes out and throws that rope over one of them's neck, and he grabs and pulls on that horse, 1,500-pound horse. You know that horse is not going to go unless he wants to. And he starts bringing that horse in. It's dark. You barely can see him. I've been down there a number of mornings just to watch him, because it's so encouraging to see how far he has come since he had been there. And the smile and the confidence when he walks in with 10 big horses behind him. And he's gone out there, and they're actually fighting over which one of them that he will lead. If he gets one of them and another one wants little Dan to lead him, he will start kicking or pushing the one he's leading. And I've seen little Dan hold on that rope, and them horses flip their heads up and pull him a foot or two, three off the ground. The minute his feet hit the ground, he just keeps going. He understands what it's all about, as far as he's taken the training, he's got the confidence, and he's able to go do what he needs to do. So you see the smile. It's a natural, loving smile that has come to this kid. Same with all these kids. I'm going to run through some of this pretty quick because I want to get to the end here. We are building a new recreation building. We're in the process of building that. We now have this building done. We need $20,000 more to finish the inside. Over the years, we've built buildings for about $10 a square foot. For you that know what square footage cost in building, you understand how inexpensive that is. We normally get donated material. We get donated labor. We get discounted material, and then it takes us sometimes 6 months to build a building that should have taken us 5 weeks to build. But we do it with volunteer labor, and we had enough money to get started, so we started. And now, by faith, we're waiting on the rest of the money to come so we can finish this. And this is what we want it to look like, so that the kids can come in and just have a place to play. In the wintertime, you got a big problem if you don't have a place for teenage boys to go. If they're staying in the home all the time, we don't have a gymnasium, we've got to have a place for them. This is what I want it to look like. The last two slides, this one and the other one, is not of the ranch. This is another facility I went to, but this is the way we want to outfit it. And with another $20,000 to $22,000, we'll be able to finish that up. And we'll put some games in there, and we'll put a stage in there because the kids love music, and we'll do some things to make it fun for them. This was a church I went to just about a year ago, and they had this. A little country Methodist church in rural Arkansas decided to take and build a building. They built this building, put this in here, and invited, I think they had 80 people to come on Sunday morning to their church. They invited all the kids in the neighborhood every Thursday night. They get 70 to 80 kids every Thursday night from the community. They teach them Bible as best they can. They asked us to go, so we really hit them hard with it. But the significant issue there is we're trying to make a place where the kids feel comfortable, where they can go there at the ranch. God has blessed our facilities. This is our auditorium, and the kids really love to play the music. This is our lunchroom now. We're feeding 50 people, so we're having to do it in two shifts. In this lunchroom, everyone eats here at lunch. during the school year. The boys eat at home for breakfast and the evening meals and on the weekend. And this is our office now. For you that haven't been there and knew what the offices look like, we've extended it. And this is my office now. I'm so thankful. We have now got, God has blessed us with a wonderful and very attractive place to take care of these kids. We got a ball field now. We didn't have that up until last year. And we have a lot of fun there. We have Votech Center. A man donated this building. We've got a lathe, two milling machines, and we're going to start machine tool training in the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks when we start school. There'll be a Votech training facility there. We've just been given this car lift. We also teach the boys mechanicking. And we had two donors give us this year to put in that building. We have a school building number two, and this is what I really wanted you to see. We have repurchased our Hidden Valley property we sold 10 years ago. In fact, at the top, you see the lodge, and that was a facility we started Glen Haven on in 1984. In 1986, they bought the other property called Shallow Valley. They're 4 miles apart through the woods. And we sold this property for $98,000 back 10 years ago to a doctor who used it in ministry. He put $150,000 into it and refurbished it, new air conditioner, new infrastructure, remodeled the whole thing and sold it back to us for $125,000. In addition to that, we had a donor last year offered to pay it off, they did. And so now we own this property clear and free, and we're ready now to start a girls' ranch. It's an ideal situation. We already have the two vehicles that's been given to us, and Bill and Cindy and Anita are going to be the ones that are going to start this. These are some folks from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They've been on tapes for years and found out about us through Baraka Bulletin. And called us and said, we want to come and help. He was a general manager of an electric co-op up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. She is a teacher and a nurse. And so we're real happy to have them. They have raised two wonderful girls who both decided to get married after they came to the ranch in January. So they're leaving this week. They're leaving this next week for the second marriage, and then we've hired one of them and her husband to come as teachers. So God blesses in unusual ways. This is the facility where they live. We've just fixed this facility up, and we're trying to make it inviting to the young girls that come there. We feel very blessed, very fortunate that we've been able to get this facility back. It's a wonderful facility. I don't have time to tell you about the significance of this eagle, but that's about a $3,000 bronze eagle we got for $200, and we're going to really make a big deal out of that and use some scriptures as well to have there at the girls' ranch. We've got 40 acres there plus our 150 acres at Shiloh Valley, so we have a lot of property for horses and cows and for the kids. This is the large kitchen there in the lodge with the girls. And we've been very blessed over the years to have almost a commercial kitchen there. And we have wonderful facilities there for them. This is just some pictures of the site. She didn't know what crepe myrtles were. You guys know what a crepe myrtle is. So, you know, they only have 2 months out of the year up there. They have flowers or anything. Most time it's winter. So she was really excited about being able to plant some of these things. We have a water slide, a barn, and that's the porch for their facility. But you guys pray for us. We're taking application for girls right now, and we'll have girls at the ranch pretty soon. I have 10 till, is that right? Are y'all 11 till? Well, actually, I got 10 and a half till, so we're pretty close. This is some of the volunteers that come. We had 27 adults and children come from Puyallup, Washington, up in Washington State. They raised $30,000, gave us $10,000 to build that building, that rec building, and spent cost them $20,000 to fly that bunch down and back and come for a mission trip. They stayed for a week at the ranch this summer, and they had a ball. They did a lot for us, and they said it was a better mission trip than going out of the country, and it was a lot easier and even cheaper for them. So we were very excited about that, that they came and did so much work for us. We are close to a retirement city called Hot Springs Village. You may have seen it advertised. It has 9 golf courses and 7 lakes and about 20,000 retirees that live there. So we tap into those resources, and we have about 20 to 30 retirees a week that come out and work at the ranch. And they do everything from build small sheds to fences and many other things. So you guys pray for us. We're on the web. We're really all about boys. I want to tell you, this man went to Brackett Church, Jim, for many years. He now lives in San Antonio. He called me about 4.5, 5 years ago and said, "Quentin, I have a son that's been living with his mother. We've been divorced for a number of years," and said, "She's finally given up on him. He's out of control." He had been in 2 other facilities and said, "Would you take him?" Beverly and I went to Houston, talked to Jim. We took Mason in. He is now 18, and he's chosen to stay at the ranch on his own free will to get his high school diploma for this next year. And we're having a hard time holding him back because he wants a car and he wants to drive and he wants to do all those things. He told me the other day he wanted a cigarette. He said, "I'm 18 and it's legal." And he said, "I got to have one." And I said, "You're addicted already, aren't you?" So he's busting at the seams to grow up and mature. But he's a wonderful kid. I just had this picture up here because we have a lot of successes over the years. We've had hundreds of kids. And Jeremy called me last week. He just finished high school. We had, what was the kid's name that just went through the military? Zach. Zach just left us last year and went to basic training. He was so lazy he wouldn't pick up a pencil off the floor. And we thought he'd never amount to anything. He called us the other day and said, "I'm headed back to Tennessee from Oklahoma. I just finished basic and AIT," and he's a different kid. And he said, "This is home." And you never know that when they're there, but it's wonderful to see the results that goes on with these kids once they leave there. Clay is from Louisiana. He lived with his grandmother. His mother is on drugs. He doesn't know who his dad is. His grandmother's 85. We got a call from a guy in Fredericksburg, Texas, said, "I got a nephew over in Louisiana, and we don't know what to do with him." He had never been allowed by his grandmother to play with other kids. He'd never been allowed to ride a bicycle, and all he did was stay in the house up until he came to Glenhaven. To strap a backpack on him and put him in the woods the other day on the Colorado trip was a scary thing for us, as well as him. But we weren't sure how he would do this. And he just did great. He has grown leaps and bounds since he's come to the ranch. I looked at him after he was there about 2 weeks and all the boys were picking on him. And I said, "Clay, you live up there in the blue house and Joyce and Gene are your house parents. Who is the biggest person in your house?" He shook his head and he said, "I don't know." And he started naming the other boys. "Well, he's bigger than all of them." And he did not in his mind see that. He does not understand his significance and what he can do about these little kids that are picking on him and teasing him and kidding him. And once he started to realize that, of course, they stopped. But it's amazing to us to watch this kind of thing go on with these kids. Dusty was at the ranch 3 weeks and led a mutiny one night at 1 o'clock in the morning, went and stole a car, and ended up going about a mile from the ranch and hitting a tree. And they all they all got out of the car. They totaled the car of the ranches. They got out of the car, and halfway back at 1:30 in the morning, they stopped in the middle of the dark road. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face. And Dusty said, "I think we better pray." And they had a prayer meeting before they got back to the ranch. A lot of stories here. We're about through. Let me tell you what we're about. Glen Haven is about the concept that all of us, when we put our trust in Christ, we belong to Him. That word indicates relationship. That indicates, right, the starting of a relationship. I am an heir to the descendants of Abraham because I have put my trust in Christ. I have the promises. As a relationship builder, we've realized that dealing with the kids, there are two basic types of parenting out there. And we have realized one is behavioral parenting and the other is relational parenting. Now, do you deal with behavior? Sure you do. Absolutely. But the priority in parenting has to be relationship, not behavior. Do you put your arm around a kid when he messes up and say, "I love you anyway"? Sure we do. And how many times are we going to forgive our children? The problem we have now in this country is their parents aren't willing to go the same distance in forgiveness with their kids as they want people to go with them. How many times should we forgive our children, and how should we parent them? We should always parent them based on relational parenting. Behavioral parenting reacts according to what a child does, and relational parenting concentrates on how to understand the child. Isn't it wonderful that God understands us, and He's patient and long-suffering with us? And how long has it been? How long has He put up with your mistakes and your failures? He's put up with some of mine for a lifetime, and He still loves me. And He still puts His arms around me. And He still pulls me out of troubled spots. And His grace still comes. And it has nothing to do with Him whether my behavior is bad or good, because He still loves me. Because He's consistent. We've lost that concept of parenting children. Because that's what we represent as parents to our children. We represent God to our children. And we're supposed to bring that same concept. Guys, thank you so much for supporting the ministry. We're out of time. Anybody have any quick questions? Yes. That haven't survived?
No, I think more in terms of your really problem.
Oh, yes. We have a number of them. We have a young man that's... That told me he'd never come back to the ranch. In fact, he said, "When I leave this ranch, I'm going to smoke marijuana and I'm going to do what I want." And he did. And about a year later, and by the way, when he came to the ranch, his hair was down to his waist. He was there about 3 years. Wonderful, good-looking kid. He left, went back to Oklahoma City. He called me 2 years later and said, "Quentin, I've cut my hair, and would you marry me and my wife?" And they came all the way to Arkansas, and we married them. They have two children now. They call a lot. We see them a lot of times. He is a full paramedic in Oklahoma City and doing great. We have a number of those kind of stories. We also have some very sad stories where some kids have left and have made bad choices. We've had suicide at the ranch. Guys, what we do is extremely serious. And taking these kids who are ready to take their own life because there's no hope and there's nobody there is very difficult for those on our staff. Please pray for our staff and our people for what they do. And I can tell you, it's bigger. I got to teach 7 parenting seminars last year, and I hope to do the same. Our ministry is growing outside of just helping the individuals. We'd like to help a lot of people so that they wouldn't have to find a place to send their kids. And we'd like to do a lot of what we've learned. We would like to help. Everywhere I go, I work with pastors who are dealing with these kind of issues all the time. Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Quentin. It has been a long time since you've been here to give a report. So we thank you for that. Today's slideshow was probably the best you've ever put together, I think. I have a 2-year-old granddaughter, and she was in a swimming pool the other day, messing around doing what she'd want to do. And her mother was trying to make sure she was not doing something that would be dangerous for her. She was trying to coax her into doing a certain thing inside the pool. And she looked up at her mother and she says, "I want you to go away so I can do what I want to do." So I don't know if you take 2-year-olds or not. But from my recollection, that's normal behavior for 2 years of age. Well, thank you for coming, Quentin. And Beverly and Ashley's here with us today, too. Good to see you again, Ashley. We'll now dismiss with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for this presentation and for Quentin and his family's trip here to visit with us. But most of all, Father, we pray for the boys at the ranch. And we know some of them because they've been here to visit on occasion. But you know each and every one. You know the types of leadership that each needs. You know what kind of motivation each needs. And this staff that Quentin has put together, they are capable of following through on your directives. So make them open to your leadership and prepare these boys to hear what is said to them, what is given to them by example, with an objective outlook. And in time, you may guide them to the high ground of not only Christian experience, but also the application of it as adults, and thus they in turn contribute with other Christians across this country in the stability of our client nation. So we pray for Glen Haven. We thank you for the work that they do. And we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.